This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Futuro.
Dear listener, first of all, happy holidays and felices fiestas. You know, this year the holidays look and feel so different than any of the celebrations we've ever had before. And so we asked you, our listener, to tell us about your plans, and this is what you had to say.
Hi, Maria. My name is Debbie Rosa. I live over here in sunny San Diego, California. So usually how my family spends Christmas is we get all together to my grandma's house. My grandma is 97, and we just, you know, eat everything. Menudo, tamales, buñuelos. Unfortunately, we're not going to be gathering at all. It sounds like we're going to be doing like a drive-by for my grandma so she's not lonely during, you know, Christmas.
Hi, my name is Norma, and I'm from Montclair, New Jersey. I and my children celebrated this past Thanksgiving, and we're planning on doing it a little differently for Christmas. They have never cooked a turkey the way, you know, the Puerto Ricans do it. And they followed me as I prepared the turkey with the bilong and the garlic and the oregano and all that good stuff. And then the next day, we each stuck the turkey in the oven, and while it was cooking, they followed me, and you know, they had their own ingredients, and we all made arroz con gandules. What was great about this was that the pandemic gave us an opportunity to actually pass down some of these great Puerto Rican recipes to my children, and hopefully they will be able to do the same for their children.
From Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, a socially distant Christmas special. Christmas is a very special time for many Latinos and Latinas. And it's not just about the religious part of it. It's that one time of the year when you get to see your abuelitos, your tías, your primos and primas who live far away. Everyone knows that this is a time to gather around the table to eat delicious food, to drink, maybe a little bit too much, to celebrate, to dance, sing, and let it all hang out. But this year, COVID-19 has turned the holiday celebrations upside down. Most of us are going to stay at home. We won't be gathering with any of our extended families and relatives to keep them safe and ourselves too. It might feel a bit lonelier this year, but there are so many reasons to stay positive, thankful, and even hopeful. And that's why we wanted to talk with Latinos and Latinas who actually have a lot of experience spending the holidays away from their loved ones as it is. Sometimes it's because of their job. Sometimes it's because they can't legally travel across borders. And so for many people in the Latino community, spending Christmas away from family is not so new. How have they learned to cope with the holidays? And what tips can they share this year when so many of us are going to be away from our families during the holidays? We're going to start our socially distant and responsible Christmas special in Oakland, California. Producer Reynaldo Leaños Jr. spoke to a Puerto Rican musician for whom music has always been an essential part of Christmas. Here's Reynaldo with that story.
Maria Jose Montijo is an acupuncturist and a musician. Agüita, agüita, mala mia. She's originally from Puerto Rico, but has been living in the Bay Area for more than 13 years. Maria says music has always been a part of her life, especially during the holidays.
In Puerto Rico, we have this tradition that's called parranda. And it's basically like somewhere around Christmas, a group of people decide to go around from house to house and wake up people in the middle of the night by playing music.
During a parranda, people usually quietly gather around other people's homes and then they shout,
¡Asalto! And then the music will start, and it's like this typical Puerto Rican Christmas music.
Maria grew up with these traditions in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
The neighbors would open their doors and, you know, offer up all their food and their drink. And then the people that would come in would just like play music, sing and dance together.
The celebration is also really long, she says.
Like it starts like in December and then it goes towards January, towards the Reyes Magos. And then after the Reyes Magos, there's the Octavitas. And after the Octavitas, then there's the San Sebastian Festival. And then that, you know, Christmas is like officially over in February.
Getting together as a family is what Maria enjoys most about the holidays. She tries to go back to Puerto Rico a few times a year, but sometimes she hasn't been able to visit during the holidays. She remembers some Christmases she spent in Oakland away from her family. Those moments were pretty lonely, sad, and she felt very homesick.
But I feel like after I started being part of this Puerto Rican bomba community, then we would gather to celebrate as we do in Puerto Rico. So that made everything better, honestly, to have a strong community here. It's kind of like chosen family that's very rooted in the culture of where I'm from. So it's kind of evoking my good times in my childhood.
Maria also found solace in food and music.
I would like play Puerto Rican Christmas music. I was like, oh, I really need to get some pasteles. You know, I need to find somebody that makes these like Puerto Rican tamales. Like, I really need to eat this because, you know, it just makes my heart happy.
In 2020, she feels lucky that she'll be able to be back in Puerto Rico for the holidays.
It's definitely going to be a different kind of Christmas because we're going to go there and quarantine and take all the precautions. You know, my mom wants me to go to her house right away. And it's like, no, mom, I'm sorry. You know, like, we need to take care of you, you know, and be considerate.
Maria says this Christmas will be pretty mellow and that there will be a lot of social distancing. But she's still looking forward to going back to her homeland.
You know, there's something in me, like as a Boricua living in the diaspora, that it's kind of like I need that little like recharge of being in my land. It, you know, it kind of like feeds my internal battery so that I can keep going in life.
During the pandemic, Maria has lost work as an acupuncturist, but COVID-19 has allowed her to really focus on her music. That includes dropping her latest single, Huracán, and finishing up her first album. Creating music has been a lifesaver for her during these last few months. It's allowed her to heal, work through shame and insecurities. When Maria isn't working on her craft, she's listening to other people's music because it's a release for her.
When I need to shake things off, I'll just put on some music and, you know, I start perreando in my cocina, you know.
And when she starts to feel alone because she can't physically be at home with her family, she turns up some music that reminds her of Puerto Rico to help her feel more connected.
Healthcare professionals are used to working during the holidays, even more so this year, as COVID-19 cases keep surging across the country. Editor Marta Martinez spoke with a Venezuelan doctor who lives in Cleveland, Ohio. And here's Marta with that story.
Salvador Navarrete is about to finish his 12-hour shift at Cleveland Clinic. We speak on the phone while he's on a break. He wears white scrubs, and the fluorescent light in the room highlights the shadows under his eyes.
you know, we usually work between 60 and 70 hours a week average. And then with within the last 2 or 3 weeks with the rising cases of the COVID, we've been having a rearrangement of duties.
Salvador will be graduating from medical school in June. Back in Venezuela, where he's from, Salvador was a surgeon for 8 years.
With the situation in Venezuela and all the, you know, the rising crime rate, the decreasing economic freedom that we experienced there, we decided to move here to the States. So in order to get the full license here as a surgeon, you need to do residency again.
Going back to medical school was hard for him, and even more so in a foreign country with a little child.
We took a hit with the winter. Definitely that was, especially the winter here in Cleveland, which is super hard, you know, with probably 70% of the days being gray and, you know, short of light. But now you adapt, you know, and then there's some good things about winter, just a few, but there's some there.
Being a student again also meant working most holidays. For the first 3 years, Salvador missed most Christmas celebrations. But he had a lot of family support.
Long story short, my mom came from Spain. My sister, who at that time was living in New York, also came. So they made those Christmas days better for me. But definitely it was very tough. And then on top of that, Michelle, my wife, her whole family was back home in Caracas, you know, having a hard time with all this economical situation. So it was definitely hard for everybody.
With time, it got a little bit easier. They bought a small house and started to feel at home. They had 2 more children in the U.S. But as a healthcare professional, you get used to having to work during those special days, Salvador says.
You usually start working at 6 a.m. And then that moment where, you know, you're taking a shower, you grab a cup of coffee and you said, crap, I'm going on the 24th and I won't be with the kids. So those 20 minutes before home and the hospital is where you think about it. But once you start working, it's, you know, it's so busy that, you know, hours fly and the day goes by so quick, you don't even notice. I think the people on the other side, like my kids and my wife, they suffer more because they're kind of enjoying the dinner and stuff, and I'm not there, right? But you really don't feel it that much while you're working.
This year, for the first time, Salvador will be able to spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with his family. He even got New Year's Eve off, which is a miracle, he says. But this year, because of COVID, it'll only be the 5 of them celebrating. Very different from the way they celebrated the holidays in Venezuela.
Back home, you know, Venezuelan people like to party. We're very joy people. You start celebrating probably from the first or second week of December. We have like a typical music that we listen in this season. It's usually from the west side of the country, which we call gaitas. We do have some special dishes for Christmas. We have the hallaca, which is a classic. It's a salty pastry made of corn flour, and then it's filled up with pork or beef.
The family plans to cook a traditional Venezuelan dinner this Christmas. Salvador's favorite dish is ensalada de gallina.
The Russian salad with chicken, I really love it. I like mayonnaise. I know that it's not very healthy, but I love it. So I really like the salad. For my wife, the favorite is the hallaca.
Salvador hopes that he won't get any emergency calls on Christmas Day, but that's always a possibility.
But yeah, the fact that you're used to it, and then also your family is used to, you know, see you leaving for a call, and that probably makes things less harder. But also the fact that we've been migrating, you know, I'm the third generation of immigrants, which looks, you know, it feels crazy. So we've been immigrants for so long that you're used to, you know, spend some Christmas without your significant others. And definitely the fact that the technology is advancing and you have FaceTime and all these things, then at least you can see them and then talk to them and have a little bit of that, you know, that heat, that warm that family gives you in these days.
For Salvador, Christmas is all about making his children happy and being together as a family. He says that seeing them grow up in a safe place and guaranteeing a better future for them made it all worth it.
Coming up on Latino USA, we learn more about what Christmas is like when you're undocumented and how refugees who are asking for asylum in the U.S. are spending the holidays while they're forced to wait in Mexico. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo, modern management made simple. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back. And for this socially distant Christmas special, we're learning from Latinos and Latinas who have a lot of experience about spending the holidays away from their families. For many people, the COVID-19 pandemic presented a problem that they'd never encountered before, not being able to travel home for the holidays. But for undocumented people, not being able to take a plane or cross the border is reality. Our Latino USA intern, Emil Sequiros, brings us this story from the Napa Valley.
For Arlene Correa Valencia, an undocumented artist, traveling out of the United States is something she hasn't been able to do for more than 20 years.
Last night I was sharing with my father, like I said to him, you know, for the first time, people get to see a little bit of what we feel and how we have to live. And he just like chuckled to himself and he said, you know, nunca entenderán, they'll never understand.
Born in Michoacán, Mexico, Arlene immigrated to the United States with her family when she was just 3 years old and ended up in Napa Valley, California. Arlene is an award-winning artist. A lot of her artwork revolves around immigration and separation. As an undocumented person, Arlene has had to deal with the fact that she might never see her extended family in this lifetime, let alone during this pandemic.
I think it's always been really devastating not being able to connect with our family and at least not being able to share that space together.
But for the first time ever, she feels that everyone else is getting to experience a little bit of what it's like to live as an undocumented person.
Citizens and people who have the freedom to travel and to go places will never truly understand, because even though we are in these lockdowns and limiting all sorts of socialization, there's still a sense of like freedom. Whereas for us, there's absolutely none of that. But if I had to put a percentage to it, it's only 10% of what the actual feelings of being undocumented are. But in a way, it's a blessing because it allows us to tap into our emotions of empathy and maybe some sort of understanding the ways in which we're living.
Arlene says that this reality has forced her and her family to live in the moment and value the small things. Even on Christmas, the only thing that matters to them is the simple act of being together.
growing up as a child, things were really tight and presents were never guaranteed. And we just grew up knowing that that was not our reality. So it wasn't an expectation that, you know, there would be a bicycle on the tree or anything like that. And now as we are older, we really appreciate just the fact that we're together. And so when Christmas comes around, as long as all of my whole family is sitting in the living room having a cup of café de canela, we're all good. And that's what it's all about.
She says she wishes people didn't take the technology that we have today for granted.
Because I remember the first time that my dad was able to jump in on FaceTime with his brother, who he hasn't seen in over 20 years. And it was so magical and so beautiful to just see his face light up and to be able to look into his brother's eyes. I think we take for granted Zoom and FaceTime and all of these things that allow us to stay connected. And we want more, right? We want better speeds. We want better connection. We hate when there's a little bit of a lag. But as undocumented people, we will take the lag and the low speeds all day just to be able to make a connection with our family.
But this Christmas season is going to be different for the Correa family as well.
My father has been recently diagnosed with some health issues, and we don't want to expose him to the potential of getting sick. And my mother, too, she's also not doing very well. And so we're just, you know, being extra cautious, because one of the nuances of being undocumented is that you always have to figure out how to take care of yourself without a healthcare system. So we're really fearful that if anyone in our family was exposed to COVID, we would not have access to healthcare or have the means to be able to access an ER if we needed to. So I'm a little devastated, but like I said, super grateful that for now, my parents and my family are okay. And if that means not being able to see them for the holiday, then that's a sacrifice that we're willing to make.
And our final stop in our Christmas special is the border town of Matamoros, Mexico. Reynaldo Leaños Jr. spoke to an asylum seeker who's trying to form a community this holiday season. Here's Reynaldo with that story.
A group of people gather near the kitchen of this small apartment in Matamoros. They're planning on making a warm home-cooked meal and preparing to celebrate this Christmas holidays. They're all members of the LGBTQ community and are seeking asylum in the U.S.
La idea nació de la necesidad de poder tener un lugar digno y seguro para los miembros de la comunidad LGBT que se encuentran en espera de su proceso de asilo y fueron devueltos a Matamoros, México a través del MPP.
That's Estuardo Cifuentes. He's a gay man from Guatemala and he's been waiting in Mexico for more than a year now. This will be his second Christmas in Matamoros. He says this place isn't just an apartment, it's a shelter. He helped create it as part of his organization, Rainbow Bridge. Estuardo saw the need for a safe and dignified space for the members of the LGBTQ community, like him, who were placed into the Trump administration's Migrant Protection Protocols program and were sent to Mexico to wait for months. Human Rights First says there have been more than 1,000 reported violent attacks against migrants who were sent to Mexico under MPP, and that LGBTQ migrants are a vulnerable population.
Yo llegué a principios de julio del 2019. No habían organizaciones trabajando en la frontera. No había nada de lo que ahora existe.
He arrived at the border in July of 2019 when there weren't many organizations helping asylum seekers in the MPP program. He was alone and had nowhere to go.
Conozco en carne propia lo que es todo este proceso.
Estuardo says he knows exactly what this group of LGBTQ asylum seekers are going through, and he's happy he can help make their lives a little easier. MPP hearings have been indefinitely suspended because of the pandemic. This means many migrants on the border won't be spending the holidays with their loved ones. For Estuardo, this will also be the second Christmas away from his partner of more than 9 years, who is back in Guatemala. Being apart has been very difficult for both of them.
Ha sido muy difícil el tener que estar separados, porque pues ya tanto tiempo juntos viviendo en el mismo país. No vivíamos juntos, pero sí nos veíamos todos los días, trabajábamos juntos. Entonces el ya no vernos sí ha sido difícil.
Back in Guatemala, Estuardo and his partner spend a lot of time together. They didn't live together, but they saw each other every day, and they even worked together. Last year, he really missed his partner during the holidays.
El día de la Navidad y el día del Año Nuevo, pues no hice nada, absolutamente nada. No celebré, no salí a celebrar, no estuve con nadie.
Estuardo says last Christmas and New Year, he didn't celebrate at all, and he didn't see anybody. Growing up, Estuardo had a complicated relationship with his parents because of his sexuality.
Y nunca lo aceptaron. Y pues en ese momento cuando ellos se enteraron, pues hubieron golpes, me golpearon, tuve que irme de la casa un tiempo.
He says at some point they even physically attacked him and he had to leave home for a while. And then his parents forced him to go to conversion therapy at a local church. So the holidays weren't really something Estuardo got much joy from.
La Navidad y el Año Nuevo, pues en Centroamérica, pues son festividades familiares. Y los miembros de la comunidad LGBTQ+, pues sufrimos el hecho de que nuestra familia se tenga que reunir y que no nos acepten.
Estuardo says the holidays back in Central America are usually family celebrations, but members of the LGBTQ+ community often suffer because they have to meet with family members who usually don't accept them. He hopes the community he's brought together here at the shelter will make the holidays feel a little less lonely for everyone this year. There's also something, or someone, that Estuardo is cautiously optimistic about.
Estoy muy emocionado, estoy muy nervioso, estoy feliz, definitivamente estoy feliz.
Estuardo says before COVID-19, his boyfriend was about to get his Mexican visa renewed so that his partner could visit him. But then the pandemic unfolded, and he wasn't allowed to travel. Recently, his partner had a meeting at the Mexican embassy. So it's possible that he'll be able to join him in Matamoros for Christmas and the New Year.
Pues definitivamente vernos, estar juntos, compartir y aprovechar ese tiempo mientras él pueda estar acá.
He says if his partner is able to come to Matamoros, they'll for sure spend time together and be able to celebrate the holidays. With the new U.S. administration in the near horizon, Estuardo hopes that this will be the last Christmas he spends in Matamoros. But he knows changes won't happen overnight. When it comes to coping with the holidays away from your loved ones, Estuardo recommends staying positive.
Yo lo que podría recomendar es que se centren esos días en el amor, en la paz que tienen con esas personas, como ver las cosas de la mejor de la manera más positiva posible.
Estuardo says focus on the love and peace that you have with the people around you and your family, and look at things from a perspective that's as positive as possible. Musician Maria Jose Montijo's advice is to pay attention to your mental health.
Yeah, these months have been really, really rough. I think my general sentiment is that, you know, if you're alive and you're like healthy, like just celebrate that. You know, I don't think it's a time to like be hard on ourselves. It's so important to cultivate some compassion for ourselves and for our coping mechanisms.
For Salvador Navarrete, the Venezuelan doctor, the most important thing is feeling at home, wherever you are.
If you had a Christmas tree at home, if you had some music that you'd like, something like that, so make sure you have it on those days, right? So you can close your eyes and transport your mind and say, okay, listen, I have the smell of the Christmas tree, or maybe the smell of a special dish.
And don't underestimate what you already have, which is already a lot, says undocumented artist Arlene Correa Valencia.
Hold space to be grateful for what you do have. I know it seems like this will never be over, and we might be in this COVID lockdown or sheltering in place for a long time. But the truth is that life will return for all of you and for everyone, and we will get back to our normal patterns.
Thank you so much for all of your messages. Happy holidays and felices fiestas to each and every one of you. And our very best wishes for 2021, because aren't you ready for a new year? I know I am. Thanks for listening. This episode was produced by Reynaldo Leaños Jr. and Emil Sequiros, and edited by Marta Martinez. The Latino USA team includes Miel Macias, Andrea López Cruzado, Julieta Martinelli, Alisa Escarce, Ginny Montalvo, and Alejandra Salazar, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau, Julia Caruso, and Leah Shaw, with help from Elisheba Itu. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Julia Rocha. This week, we say goodbye to our interns, Jimena del Cerro, Emil Sequiros, and Gabriela Valles. Hey, you did great work as interns during a pandemic. It will be unforgettable for you and for us. Muchas gracias for all of your hard work. And congratulations. Our theme music was composed by Zanya Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Ahí nos vemos. Felicidades. Bye.
Latino USA is made possible in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities.
You know, I remember the melodies. I cannot recall the names.
Well, you can sing it for me.
No, that's different. I need a glass of wine for sure for that. But.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA. Despite no physical evidence, an alibi, and recanted witness testimony, J.J. Velasquez has been in jail for 22 years for a crime the evidence suggests he did not commit. The story of J.J. Velasquez.
When you're innocent, you're at, like, the worst position to represent yourself.
Next time on Latino USA.